Oh, come on, let's worship the name of Jesus tonight. Come on, he's worthy of the praise, the glory, and the honor. Here I am to worship. Come on, I've come into this place to magnify the Lord and worship him. Come on, let's forget about ourselves. Let's concentrate on him and worship him tonight. We worship you. We praise you, Lord. We glorify you, Savior. Praise God. Remain standing. We have special prayer tonight. Pray for Brother Johnson. Pray for Heather Smallwood. Pray for Ryland Carnegie. And also remember Thomas Ruff. This is Cotta's father. He is not doing well from his surgery. And just life, it weighs on you mentally and physically. If you know somebody who needs prayer in their body tonight, needs a healing and touch in their body, lift their name. If you need a touch in your mind, your heart, your spirit, just lift their name tonight. Come on, we're in the presence of the Lord. Oh, let's magnify the name. Let's pray right now, Savior. Savior, we love you. We praise you. We glorify you. Oh, is there any sick among you, the Bible says? Come on, let him pray. Let him pray. Let him pray. The prayer of faith can save the sick tonight, God. Use it for your glory. Use it for your honor. Use it for your impact. My God, I pray by your will, by your authority, by your touch, God, your plan, your purpose. And we pray, God, in Jesus' name tonight. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I mean, if you have not yet listened to Brother Tuttle's message from Arkansas Camp Meeting, please do so. Ushers are preparing to receive the Wednesday night tithe and offering. I would also suggest, in fact, just listen to them all. They're all good. But listen to Brother Copeland's, the Jordan Copeland's message just the other day. He talks about where your faith ends. We don't always get everything we pray for. There has to be a purpose for our prayers. There has to be a plan for God to get the impact of the prayers. He didn't heal everybody. He didn't deliver everybody. Not everybody got rich. So God, help me find the end of my faith. And when you don't answer my prayers, let me still believe in you. Let me still trust you. Let me still follow you. Amen. Don't forget your daily devotion, your personal time of prayer, Bible reading, weekly fasting, witnessing. He that winneth souls is wise. Be faithful to the house of God. I was thinking tonight before church started, you know, if you don't show up for class, don't get upset when you fail the test. You don't show up for class, don't get upset when you don't hear the instructions of the teacher. And so I want to make sure that I'm faithful in my attendance, because when it's all said and done, I want to be saved. I want to overcome. I want to know how to. And faith cometh by hearing. We have a fireworks sign-up sheet back there on the desk. Please be available for that. If you don't know the information, the times, you can go back there and see that. And if you have any questions, you can talk to Sister Bray. Amen. Let's stand together. Pray for the offering. Savior, we love you. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace. We thank you for the joy, the hope that we feel in this house tonight. We ask, Lord, to bless the gift and the giver. We'll be quick to give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Let's sing and worship as the ushers come.
You deserve the glory.
Come on, if you know that to be true tonight, lift your hands, your heart. Come on, lift your spirit tonight. There's truly no one like our God. We worship you. We praise you. We adore you. Savior, you're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. Amen. Amen. We're going to take some time tonight in fellowship. If you would, just step out of your seat, step out of your aisle, and just go by and greet somebody in Jesus' name. we clap our hands right now over this house tonight. Come on, give the Lord glory. Give him praise. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Oh, just because it's good, do it again. Just because he's good, he is great and greatly to be praised. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Musicians can be dismissed. Our reader can assume his position. As soon as Lloyd gets unhooked and untethered, praise God. I'm going to read something to you tonight that Sister Bertram posted. And you got to be careful. The Bible says, let no evil communication come out of your mouth. That also includes your thumbs. That also includes the keyboard. No evil, no corrupt, no vile. But also be careful which communication that you hear. If you think about it, if you were to surf the internet, whether it be news media, and with this AI thing going on, they're going to confuse some folks. There's bears flying into the Empire State Building, having eaglet cubs up there on the island. It's just crazy. Because it was on television, someone thought it was real. So this is what Sister Bertram wrote. She's a pastor's wife in Lakeside, California. Lately, I've been deeply burdened by the number of voices that we are allowing to shape us through social media. We're sharing clips and quotes from people, pastors, who truly don't even know who God is. They preach from not from a place of spiritual revelation, but from psychology. And while psychology certainly has its place, it is a dangerous thing when it becomes the foundation for spiritual leadership. Going to the therapist because of spiritual church hurt, the spirit of our culture has snuck into the church. No rules, no authority, no accountability. I mean, can we see LA? Is it not crazy? I'm not here to dispute the right or wrong of why they're protesting, but the lawlessness of it. Well, if the pastor tells me no or corrects me, I'm changing churches and getting a therapist for church abuse. It's happening everywhere. It's the spirit of our culture, and it's gotten into the church. What we are witnessing is a shift. People following, amplifying voices that don't align with our faith. They don't carry the fire of biblical truth. It's damaging the church. It's creating victims instead of disciples. It's promoting self-help over supernatural. We are pushing emotional awareness without allowing room for redemptive power and lift that comes from God only. The delivering power of the Holy Ghost is becoming replaced by therapy talk void of deliverance, void of freedom. We must be careful who we elevate, who we follow, who we listen to, who we share, even if it sounds right, even if their words hit home, we have to test the spirit. Deception often comes dressed in a fresh language, cultural relevance, and emotional appeal, but it's still deception. Don't forget the Bible said the devil came as an angel of light. Right. Anybody ever heard of Joseph Smith, the prophet Muhammad? It sounded good, but look what it's created. We must stay prayed up, pray for discernment. If they don't believe our doctrine, why would we share their post of spiritual insight, and why would we follow them? I wrote this. You may hear a good point, but that does not mean that we should allow that voice to speak into our lives. How many hours a day do we allow outside voices to speak to us and only a few hours a week, the shepherd of our soul? Could you pull up 2 Timothy verses 1 through 3? Chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, their own flesh, shall they heap to themselves teachers. The teachers don't have itching ears. The people have itching ears. And that literally, that word itching literally means tickle. Tell me something that makes me feel good. Tell me something that wows me. You know, we're preachers. We got egos. When you preach something good and someone says, wow, man, that was good, you got to be careful that you don't start looking for a place to wow people and tickle their ears and make them. I want people to be provoked. One preacher said, if I don't offend you just a little bit every service, I may not be doing my job. I listen to preaching because I want to be saved. I want to be convicted when I hear. I want to be elevated. I want my dreams, my desires, my ambitions to be put on the back burner. I said, God, I want to be that. God, I want to do better. God, I want to grow in the grace and the knowledge. Pull up 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse number 20. The bottom of this verse says this. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. That means to break forth. That means to go forward. You got to believe in God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. But you also got to believe his word when it's preached. Because if you want to go forward, if you want to break through, you know how many people are waiting on God to speak to them, but they don't come to church, they don't listen to the preaching? God's saying, I have a plan. I have a voice. If you want to prosper, you got to listen to what's being preached, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. My moral conviction of religious truth is going to come from hearing the word of God. I want to be very, very careful who I'm listening to, who I'm talking to. And I will tell you, I see these voices, I hear these voices, I see their clips. It's all over social media, especially when you're in an algorithm of church things. You got to be careful who you watch their reels, watch their church services. You know, back in my day, my pastor would say, you don't need to read non-apostolic books. It's not apostolic books anymore. It's everywhere. It's all out there. It's for our consumption. And we have forgotten what church is. Church is to convict us. Church is to save us. Church is to correct us. If we get off course, offline, we come to church and we get back online. We get back in alignment with God. That's what church is. It's more than lights and music and I would say a coffee shop, but we don't have one of those. It's more than a Keurig in the pastor's office with free coffee from Brother O'Connor. That's right. If you come to my office when we finally get one, I recommend the Domingo Cafe. Cafe Domingo. Yes. Cafe Domingo, Sunday coffee. Well, here we are. We're past. How many was thankful for all the lessons that we had on finances? How many are broke? Somebody said, I'm not broke. I temporarily have insufficiency of funds to meet the immediate needs of my circumstances, but I'm not broke. That will change. I think if you follow stewardship and you're faithful to God, you watch it change. It'll happen. But here we are. Now we're going to get down to where the rubber meets the road. We're going to talk about Christian lifestyle. There is a different lifestyle to live as a Christian. It is come as you are, but please don't stay that way. God didn't call you out of the world. God didn't bring you to the church to leave you the way you were when he found you. Man, I thank God he changed me. I thank God I don't do what I used to do. I don't go where I used to go. I don't have to put up with the things I used to put up. I want God to change me. And so the introduction of this is to keep us in a holy and righteous life. And the material is not to have us have a holier-than-thou attitude. That was the Pharisees. That was the Sadducees. They had it right on the outside. Jesus never said that the outside was wrong. He never said that. He said, you're hypocrites because you got the outside right, but the inside's full of dead men's bones. You're self-righteous. You're not righteous before God. It looks righteous, but thank God our righteousness is not just on sleeve length, hemline, neckline. If there were, there would be other people besides us that would be more holy. But it's not about that. It's about who we are on the inside, coupled with who we are on the outside. Because God, man looks on the outside, but God looks at the heart. Well, it doesn't matter how we dress. Well, I think it does. I think it does. I think it matters how we present ourselves. I think it matters how we look. I think it does. And so we're gonna introduce the Christian lifestyle tonight. This day is a tremendous challenge for the church. Satan is going about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Yet the devil is intelligent enough to know that we cannot be trapped in a single day. I'm not just going to go out of church and change my entire lifestyle because I quit going to church. It's going to take time. I'm not going to question my lifestyle in one single moment or day. It's going to take time. His plan is to compromise principles of righteousness that seemingly would have little meaning and thus gradually lead us down the road to doom. This must not be allowed to happen. It is in the spirit that I bring to you the truth of these lessons of the lifestyle of a Christian. Objective number one, clearly define holiness. Objective number two, determine what sets Christians apart. We have several times walked in as a church group or a family into a restaurant and heads turn. You say, oh, it's because of the way they dressed. They were not looking at us when their head was not turned. Makes sense, right? It's like when the spies went into the land, the promised land, and said, we were grasshoppers in their eyes. How do you know that? You never saw them. They never saw you. How do we know they never saw them? Because they didn't chase them. They were there 40 days. So it's not because they saw us. It's because they felt something. Well, if they can't feel our shout down service, if they can't feel our prayer meeting when we walk into a restaurant or a grocery store, there's something wrong with our Holy Ghost. It ought to ring true. It ought to draw. And then when they turn their head to see, I like walking in last with a large group of apostolics. I like watching the faces. I like watching them whisper to one another. And then I like have them looking up and seeing me walk in going, God bless you, how you doing? Because they felt it. They've seen it. They put two and two together. So I want not only, there's going to be a distinction and determine what sets us apart. Determine our responsibilities in being holy, including the pastor's role. We need to explain the following principles of the church. Sexual distinction, apparel, makeup, jewelry, what one allows in his or her mind. Objective number five, deal with the principles of doctrine, cultural factors, church standards, and personal convictions. Perhaps you have heard the word holy and applied to someone or something. What does the word mean? The word means for one to be set apart. It means to be set apart to God. Several different terms used in the Bible come from the same basic root. The Hebrew word, which with its various derivatives, is distinctly translated as holy, sanctified. Sanctification is also a word used, and the Strong's Concordance defined it as a consecrated thing, a dedicated thing, or something or someone that's hallowed. The Greek word is a derivative which gives us the same term, which means most holy thing, most holy one, or a saint. The importance of sanctification. Anybody want to be a saint in the house? You know the Bible calls us to be saints?
Right.
Not a halo with wings. Not someone that we're going to pray to when you die. But it means the life we live right here, right now. To be saintly. The importance of sanctification. I haven't forgotten, Brother O'Connor. We haven't got the scriptures yet. Just ride with us. I'll be justified here in a minute. Praise God. I promise I won't try to skip over you like I did last week. The perspective of God, note, is not the perspective of man. The perspective of God, three things are absolutely necessary for one to be saved. These three things are justification, regeneration, and sanctification. In Pentecost, we talk a lot and preach a lot about regeneration with renewing of the Holy Ghost, regeneration, remodeling, being filled again with the Holy Ghost. The new birth is important, essential, but regeneration does not exclude the need to be declared justified before God, nor does it exclude the need to be sanctified or set apart. Just because I got the Holy Ghost doesn't mean I don't have to be sanctified. He said, you don't put wine in old vessels. It's going to leak out. So when I get new wine, I got to be a new vessel. Sanctification is the biblical and theological term. It's a condition of the right relationship with God. For the sake of this lesson, let's say that the term holy is the practical application and the abstract theology. It is life's actions and life relationships. To be holy is to be sanctified. We must understand the balance between holiness and justification. The Pharisees were living outward sanctified lives, yet inwardly were full of dead men's bones. It is possible to place such an emphasis on one's distinction from the world as to reach a point where we believe that our goodness can save us or please God. We cannot dress holy enough to be saved. We cannot dress right enough or act right enough to be saved. We need God to be saved.
Amen.
I know people. I know them. I could call their names tonight. I went to church with them. I grew up in the same church. They backslid. They quit going to church. They were bitter. They were angry. But if you saw them at the store, if you saw them at Jimco, this is how long ago that was. Some of you know what Jimco is. Jimco was it was before Target. It was way before Target. It was during the Montgomery Ward's era. It was during Sears and Roebuck when it wasn't a catalog. If you saw them at the store back then, they looked exactly the same. The big rolls, the long dresses, the shamefacedness. But when you talk to them, it was dead men's bones. Well, I'm fine. How do you think? Because look the way I dress. It's more than that. It's more than that. But you also can't say, God, look at my heart so I can dress however I want and do whatever I want. And it doesn't really matter. No, if you're going to be right on the inside, that's going to be reflected on the outside. I don't want to drink from a dirty cup inside or out. If I'm going to have to drink from a dirty cup, I would much rather it be clean on the inside. But if I'm going to drink from it and put it to my mouth, you better believe I'm going to clean the spot that my mouth is going to touch. Come on now, you got it. That's a good argument. That's good preaching right there. If I'm going to take it and rinse it out, at least I'm going to rinse off the part that's going to. If I want it clean, how much more does God want us clean? Not just the part that he can touch in our praise, but all of us. If it's going to be a part of the family, if it's going to be right, I've got to be clean on the inside and the outside. Amen. Every man will be justified by faith. However, sanctification that is not self-righteousness pleases God and is a necessary part of our walk with God. What sets apart or sanctifies a Christian? Brother O'Connor, read Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 21 and 22.
And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight.
Through his death, we are sanctified. Not by our works, but through his death. His salvation came from the blood on the cross. And we are sanctified and cleansed because of his sacrifice at Calvary. Read Romans 15 and 16.
That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost.
They are sanctified because they received the Holy Ghost, Peter said, as well as we. So look, if he could do it for the Jews and he did it for the Gentiles, then that's the way they're sanctified. We're not going to get there any other way. We still got to have the Holy Ghost. We still got to have the blood applied. We still got to be buried in his name. Read 1 Corinthians 6:11.
And such were some of you, but you are washed. But you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God.
We are sanctified through the name and by the Spirit. We are sanctified in baptism in his name and being filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And once we do that, the Holy Ghost begins to teach us. The Holy Ghost begins to show us, no, I'm saved by grace. Yes, you are. But grace teaches us to deny ungodliness and to live righteously, soberly, and holy in this present world. Amen. Grace teaches me. I've been with people. I've been in revivals with people who got the Holy Ghost, and they went home, and they started doing things they used to do, and they felt checked to their spirit saying, I can't do this anymore. They got a little vein in their neck that started popping, and it was called conviction, and saying, I can't do this. I don't want to participate. People get the Holy Ghost, start covering up, and, you know, they start putting stuff on because there's something in their spirit that says, hey, you can't do what you used to do. You can't look the way you used to look. I want to stay on my notes tonight, but I remember in a Bible study with Kata, we were talking about the cloth and going back in the day when the priest had to look at the leprosy. And he'd say, look, you gotta go away, you gotta put it away, you gotta take the cloth, you gotta put it away. And then when you come back, if you're clean, we gotta check the cloth. Because we don't want you to be healed and cleansed from leprosy, which we know is a type and shadow of sin. And then put on a cloth that still has leprosy in it. And I told her, I said, if you were delivered from something and you were cleansed from it, and then you put that garment on that has sin still in it or brings the attention to your body that it should not bring, now you're unclean again. Well, it shouldn't be looking. Well, maybe we shouldn't be dressing to where it would bring their attention. Why do we want to wear it? Why do we want to put it on? What's the reason we want to still dress that way and still do that thing and still go to those places? If we're cleansed from it, why do I want to wear it? Because now what was clean, now what was justified, now what was sanctified is now defiled. So it matters. We're sanctified through the Holy Ghost and through his name. Read John chapter 17 and verse number 19.
And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth.
Truth sanctifies. That's the reason why I don't want to listen to somebody who doesn't even have the basic knowledge and doctrine of salvation or the oneness of God.
Right.
Did anybody here, anybody here who know who? I ever heard the name of T.D. Jakes?
Yes,
they consider him in the denominational world a oneness person. He believes in modalism, meaning he changes modes. God changes modes. He's the Father one time and the Son one time and the Holy Ghost one time. And they were arguing with him about these persons thing. And he said, what's your viewpoint on the persons? He goes, I got a problem with it. He said, I like the word manifestations. I thought, TD, you're so close. We believe in three manifestations.
Yeah.
He goes, now I agree with your theology. I don't like the terms you use. No, you don't want to lose your church. You don't want to lose your followers. You don't want to lose your income. Because as soon as you start saying, there is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, and that same God manifests himself in flesh and walked on this earth and rose again on the third day and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, you're going to lose. My God, I'm going to tell you, I don't want to listen. I don't want their influence. I don't want their influence. You got to be super careful who you are. Truth sanctifies. Truth sanctifies. Go ahead and read Ephesians 5, 25 through 27.
Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church.
Oh, let's stop there. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. Brother Ken said, I heard it and I saw it. And it was on purpose. He did it on purpose. He's playing. Look how red he is right now. And gave himself for it. He said, take me, Jesus. You might go tonight. Going to have a dream that there's a big marshmallow in his mouth. And he's going to wake up and there's a pillow. I just talked to Pastor... Pastor Daniel McDonald from Shelbyville, Indiana, today, about 45 minutes. He's preaching our men's conference this year in March. And I told him, I said, look, he goes, how many times am I preaching? What am I doing? What's going on? And what's the deal? I said, here's the deal. I said, I'm a man's man. I like the outdoors. I like works. I said, I'm driving a big truck right now. I'm pulling a trailer. I'm a man's man. But I don't want a male chauvinist men's conference. Well, that didn't go very well. I don't want this macho look at me and then not know how to go home and treat your wife and treat your kids, work a job, go home still addicted to pornography, go home still doing things you shouldn't be doing. I want to know how a man ought to be a man, treat his family, love his wife, love his kids, give his boys an example, give his girls an example. This is the kind of man you should be looking for. That's I want to love my wife the way Christ loved the church. If I'm not willing, hey, if a robber comes in and I'm out the window and she's still in bed, I didn't know how I was going to, I felt like I needed to say what happened last night or this morning. I heard Colt bark. Now, Colt don't just bark to bark. He barks when there's somebody in the yard. He barks when something's going on. He might be barking at a cat, but that cat's in his yard. So at 3 o'clock in the morning, 3:30 in the morning, I heard a bark or two. And it was my job to get up and go inspect the property. Oh, I looked on the ring. I made sure that there was nothing that I could see in the ring. I could have went back to bed, but I couldn't. It's my job to get up and take a walk around the house and look out the windows. I was standing there at 3:30 this morning looking out the windows, and I thought, God, if that's what you want me to be for this church, if that's what you want me to be for my family, it's my job when things go bump in the night to get up and take a look. It's my job when things aren't looking the way they need to be looking, I need to inspect them. That's what you, hey, I'm the shepherd. I'm not just out here as a hireling. I want to know what's going on, who's in my house. Let me tell you something, church. You ought to think about your pastor and think about your God. Every time a voice that's not your pastor's tries to speak into your life, you ought to say, you know what? No, he's not my pastor. He's not my shepherd. He's not the one giving account for me. I know it's a little bit loud right now, but I'm going to tell you, it ought to be something in our spirit that says, I'm not being swayed. I'm not being influenced. If he loved me enough to give his life for me, that's the voice. That's the man. God will give you pastors according to his heart. Amen. Not looking for some macho man who can't get over his addictions. I'm not looking for some tough man that holds a great job and does all these things that are manly but can't come to church and lead his family in prayer, can't cry in front of his kids. That's not a man. That's an imitation of a man. That's a poor excuse for a man. I want to be faithful. I want my kids to see me worship. I want my kids to see me in church. I want my kids and my wife to know that I'm doing my part. Hey, God called us men to be leaders, to lead our families, not only in financial things, not only in worldly decisions, but also in church decisions. Hey, it's church, we're going. Hey, we're doing a work job, we're going. We're being involved. I want to love my wife and love my church like God loved it, that I can give my life for it. That was sidebar. That was free. But it was good anyhow. Amen. Go ahead and read.
That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish.
That he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Truth cleanses. Truth saves. Truth sanctifies. And that way we know we might present it to a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, and that it might be holy and without blemish. Think about that first Passover. They'd never had one before. They'd never been there before. But they said, you make sure that lamb is without blemish, without spot. Because it's your oldest son's life,
right,
if it's not. I don't think he went out there and just kind of, well, that little one looks good from here. I think he inspected it.
Right.
And I think he got deep in there. He was looking under the arms. He was looking up behind the legs. He was under the ear. He was doing all because his family's life, his son's life. I want to live for God in such a way that my kid's life depends on it. I want to make decisions to live for God be like my kid's lives depend on it. I'm not about to let them go to hell because I was more passionate about a job than I was church. I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. I'm not about to let them get a taste for the world because I was more interested in everything else going on out there than the church. Hey, this is our life. This is our goal. This is our dream. If we have no other plans, we have plans for church. These things set us apart in God's sight. Christ's death, the Holy Ghost, the name of Jesus, and the truth of God's word. There are those who would have you believe that the work of sanctification is complete. However, the Greek tenses indicate that the work of sanctification is ongoing. You are saved at the altar and filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in his name, repented of your sins, you are saved. As you are walking through this life, you are in the process of being saved.
Right.
And when you hear him say, well done, you will then have been saved.
Right.
It is the process. None of us have made it. None of us are perfect. None of us have stepped inside the gate. So thank God he saved me. Thank God he sanctified me. But now I want to be justified. Now I want to be regenerated. Now I want to live a life that's pleasing unto him so I can hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Even though their lifestyle, whenever someone is born again, they are immediately set apart by the things previously mentioned. Even though their lifestyle may not be in keeping with Christ's plan, they are holy. As time passes, however, the new convert is taught the principles of Christian living. Their lifestyle should change to reflect their inner work of sanctification, and that has taken place is continuing. When one teaches about the lifestyle advocated by Paul and the early apostles, things that reach across time and culture is distinguished the Christian. Can I tell you, culture doesn't change our life for God. The country we live in doesn't change that. This is not a Western denomination. This is not an American denomination. This is the Bible. And it doesn't matter where I come from, what my family culture is, what brings us all here tonight with different nationalities. And I know this is probably controversial, but I was thinking about this the other day. I don't think it's God's will for us to break up in churches that only look one way or speak one way. I believe when we get to heaven, it's going to be every tribe, every tongue, every nation. Yes, we may have interpreters, and yes, we may have a group that looks, but I want us all to be able to worship the one true God together. I don't want us to break up because we have a certain pigment of skin tone or different look. I want a house that's multicultural, multinational. My God, I want a Christian, because it doesn't matter my culture. If you're saved, you're my brother. If you're saved, you're my sister. I don't care how you look. I don't care what color your hair is or your skin. Let's worship God together. Let's practice for heaven. Oh, let's practice for heaven. Every kindred, every tongue, every tribe. Amen. Amen. People have asked me before, do you pastor a cowboy church? Heavens to Betsy, no. What? I don't want to do that. I've seen guys, these cowboy churches. They're preaching with their cowboy hats on, their big belt buckles, and spitting tobacco. No, they need God too. I won't be spitting the tobacco, but I'll be wearing the stuff when I'm outside. But when I come to church, I want to lay aside my personality, lay aside my preferences. Hey, there's some things in our culture that we can hold on to, and there's some things we can't. I got to understand and have discernment to know what I need to let go of. Well, that's my family always did it this way. I don't care what my family used to do. If it doesn't align with the church, I'm not doing it. Praise God. So if we put something before Christian, that's idolatry. If we have to put some name before Christian, we're worshiping the identity rather than Christ. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. Amen. I want to be Christ-like. In Antioch, they were first called Christians. If that's what identified the church, that's what I want to be called. Someone asked, is there any such thing as a gay Christian? Absolutely not. Neither is there one a drinking Christian or a smoking Christian. Well, we should grow. And I'll say this. I believe that there are people who get in church, live for God, they're sincere, they're hungry, they want it, and they're on their way perfecting. And I had a whole bunch of scriptures that I was going to start this all off with before I even got to the lesson. I just opened it up, saw Christian lifestyle, and a bunch of scriptures came to me. And I thought, I'm going to start off with this. And whatever. And by the time I got done, they were all in here at the back. So I thought, well, I don't need to start with them. We'll end with them. But one of them says this, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Right. I may not have it all. Brother Morton asked me when we took the church in Canada, do you have any questions? I said to him, Elder, I don't even know what I don't know. There are things in your walk with God that you don't even know you don't know yet. God understands that, but he also knows the heart. Are you on your way? Because I know people who are in the church who may have all of the things that you don't know about down, but their heart's not right with God, and they're going to be lost. What do you you saying? You said there's people who are going to have not be perfect in their holiness. Absolutely. If they're going that direction and they're hungry and if they knew it, they would deal with it. If the Lord was working, they're going. I'm telling you, it's a heart deal. Yes, the outside mattered. Absolutely. But there's got to be something on the inside that says, I want more. I'm hungry for more. I'm not going to reject it just because I don't feel like it. Well, that doesn't mean we can live. That's not a license to sin. Did the Bible say that we should sin? Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. God forbid. I'm not just going to continue in sin so I can live so grace can. No. God forbid. But if I know, I want to do it. Someone would ask, is this a heaven or hell situation? I don't know. I'm not going to chance it. If that's our spirit with everything that comes from the pulpit, is this a heaven or hell situation? That might be. That question might be. He said avoid contentious questions and arguings of genealogies and avoid it. I know I butchered that scripture, but you know what I'm saying. Avoid that. I don't want that spirit. I don't want to question everything. Someone said, how do you know that God exists if you've never seen him? He said, well, I know Home Depot employees exist even though I've never seen them. Oh, I'm on my break. For our house, I bought a load. Remember this, Vinny? I bought all that sheetrock. They said, you need help loading? I said, no, I'm fine. I got it. And I'm out there. I probably got 50, I don't even know, 50, 60 sheets of sheetrock, and I was going to load it in my truck by myself. They sent some kid out there, and he's loading it with me. He works for Home Depot. He goes, so what's this stuff used for? I've never seen this before. I said, oh, yes, you have. If I hadn't been tired, I would have said, you're dismissed. You may go. There's just some things the man doesn't even know what drywall is or sheetrock is, yet he lives in a house surrounded by it. How do you know God exists? Because I live in a world surrounded by him. I may not be able to recognize it all the time, but there's some things I know. Amen. However, if the standard becomes flexible, when the flexed standard of God's holiness is properly regarded, when the fixed standard of God's holiness is properly regarded, moral evaluations can be made which are in harmony with the good. However, if the standard becomes flexible instead of fixed, the product is moral relativism. Good and evil are mixed together in a nebulous mist that allows each person to decide for himself what is right or wrong. Well, Pastor, I just don't think it matters. I just don't think what sleeve? Why don't I? None. It doesn't matter. Oh, you can draw the line. It doesn't matter that the line is drawn. What matters is who drew it. It doesn't matter that they said we don't do that as long as they're the ones saying. Because every family has a moral standard and a moral line that they won't cross. Way back when, I forget the name of the street that we lived on over there off of Cedar and Knees. I can't remember the name of that street. Cedar and Herndon. Remember that? That little, where we had the boat? Kennedy. I knew it, but I forgot it. I never got to stay over people's houses, but one night, for some reason, they let me stay over the neighbor's house. In the middle of the night, I came home. I was there. We played outside together. It was no big deal. We rode bikes. We had fun. But I went to their house. We weren't in church. It wasn't even a church situation. Okay? We went in that home, and I walked by this door, and it was really hot in that room. You can feel the heat coming through the door. It's, you know, the lights are off, and I open the door, and there are all these plants with lamps on them. I was a kid. I was 7 or 8 years old. I said, I ain't staying here tonight. Every family had a moral line. We weren't in church, but we weren't crossing that line. And we would all say, you're right, there's certain lines. But what about when we get in the church? When the Lord was talking to Moses, he said, don't let him come to the mountain. Those that came died. But where's the line? Where's the mountain begin and end? Does a mountain begin when you start panting for breath because you're climbing it? Or does it begin on the slightest incline going up? All I know is he told Moses and Aaron, you draw the line. And you keep everybody from it. I'm sorry, but if you cross the line and die and go to hell, I'm going to make sure there's a buffer. If this is the line and y'all are going, I'm going to make the line back here so that if we fall, we still fall into grace. We still fall into mercy. I don't have a problem with my pastor saying, you know what? We're not doing that. We're not going there. We're not participating in that. Why? Because he's on a mountain. He can see. He's hearing from God. He's the watchman on the wall. He's looking. I see things you don't see. I see an enemy you don't see. I see things amongst the stuff that you don't see. And I'm going to tell him, draw the line, preacher. Draw the line, preacher. Save my family. Save my sons. Save my children. Draw the line, preacher. Knowing that I have to live by the same standard in which I preach. I just don't believe it. I don't see it. We must get back to some absolutes. Sanctification and holiness is God separating one from his natural love of sin and the world, putting a new principle in his heart and making him godly in conduct. The instrument God uses to accomplish this is his word. Another important factor of our being separate from the world is the watchful eye and warning voice of our local shepherd. The Christian who has only just been born again is sanctified. Being set apart is a work of mankind cannot accomplish within himself. Yet the ongoing work of sanctification takes the application of my life doing God's will. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 11.
Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief.
Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest. I got to work at this. It's not always easy. I got to work at it. Labor means toil. It means to work. But it's rest. You know what the greatest part about working on a hot day is? Air conditioning when you're done. Is that not true? Man, when I worked for the phone company, we had no AC in our trucks. Central Valley, California, 110, 115 degrees, no AC, vinyl seats, vinyl floors, and roll-up windows. They're going to save money on those things. It's a $150,000 truck with a $10,000 computer, and you couldn't put AC in it? Nowadays, all them phone guys got AC because, you know, California. It was miserable, 12-hour, 16-hour day, and you're driving home at night, and it's still 90 degrees, and the windows are down, and there's When I finally got to my truck and turned on that AC, I've been thinking about this all day. I've been working on this all day. You labor to enter into that rest. When you finally get there, you're not going to complain the preacher preached too hard.
Right.
When we get there and step inside the gate with our families, we're not going to complain that the preacher preached too hard. We're going to say, thank God, thank God. But I'm going to tell you, if we wake up in the other place, we're going to say, give me one more message. Give me one more chance. Give me one more opportunity. I'll do it right this time. No, I want to labor. Hebrews 12 and 1 and 2, or 12 and 1.
Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us.
He said we're to lay aside every weight and sin. Well, Pastor, you can't label it a sin. I may not be able to, but it may be a weight. It may trip you up. It may cause you to lose out with God. Let go of it. Don't carry it. Don't wear yourself out. There's enough work in this. It's hard enough being. If the righteous scarcely be saved, the Bible says. Three important reasons that we should be holy. Number one, read 1 Peter 1, 13 through 16.
Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for that grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves, conform according to the former lusts in your ignorance. But as he which hath called you is holy, be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy.
So first off, we have to gird up the loins of our mind. Indicates the protective and prepared state of mind. The Christian is not fashioned themselves after their former lifestyles. Well, this is who I am. This is where I like to dress. That word fashion yourselves literally means to conform. We know another scripture says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Well, how are we conformed? How are we fashioned ourselves according to our former lust, our former flesh? But as he which hath called you is holy. See, we give God a lot of attributes. We say he's wonderful. We say he's counselor. We say he's mighty God, the Prince of Peace. We put a lot of things. But God said, I'm holy. God said, be ye holy, for I'm one and I'm holy. In fact, I'm the Holy One of Israel. So if I'm going to be anything of God, I want to make sure that I'm holy. How is God holy? In everything. In creation, in redemption, in justification. Everything God does is holy. We are to be holy as he is holy. We should be holy in everything that we do. The Bible says be holy in all manner of conversation. Well, I didn't text anything mean today, Pastor. I didn't say anything wrong today, Pastor. That's not what the word conversation means there. It means behavior. It literally means lifestyle. Be holy in all manner of behavior and lifestyle. Well, how can I be holy like God? I can do the best I can. Even though I will fall way short, I can still do the best. But if I'm not trying at all, if all I'm doing is living how I've always lived, because it is written, be ye holy, for I, the Lord, am holy. Go ahead and read, if you would, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9 and 10.
The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?
So he said, look, we know how it's going to end. I'm not a big end time preacher. If I want to preach the end times, I want to preach this. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit, saith the Lord. You can get caught up in all this end time stuff, but if you don't know about salvation, what does it matter? But I do know this, he's coming as a thief in the night. I do know this, someone's going to be taken, someone's going to be left. I do know this, that when it's all said and done, it's going to be chaos in this world. And knowing that, because I know that, what manner of person ought I to be? Amen. How should I live knowing how it's all going to turn out? In all manner of conversation, in all manner of behavior. The word here says that we should come to repentance. We preached this a couple Sundays ago. The word repentance means compunction, from guilt or from reformation. It means a reversal of one's decisions. It comes from the word which means to think differently or afterwards or to reconsider, to feel moral compunction. I don't care how we think we need to live. The Bible says we need to rethink those decisions. I don't think it matters, Pastor. Well, you need to repent. Well, that's harsh. Let's not forget that the purpose of the church is to not affirm our lifestyle. Who among us, if you were in financial ruin, would go to a financial counselor that tells you to go out and buy a Lamborghini? You might as well spend it all now, because if you're going to file for bankruptcy, you might as well go big or go home, Junior. That's not financial counseling. You go to a doctor saying, man, doc, my left arm goes numb every other day. I can't walk. I can't breathe. I can't see my feet. I get on the scale. It says, please, one at a time, no loitering. What should I do? Well, you should go to Dairy Queen and get a Blizzard. Wash that down with a triple. Make sure you top it off with a Diet Coke. Balance. I got taxes to do. What do? Run, flee, change your name. That's not good advice. Well, I want to come to church and I want to feel good about my lifestyle. Man, just come and worship with us. As long as you get tithes and offerings and you show up for church, man, I don't care how you live. Not only will you be lost, but I'll be lost with you.
Right.
Hey, I'm going to preach it. Because I want to be saved, and I want to do it for joy. I want to stand before God and do it with joy, because that's what's profitable to you. Can I tell you, if there's sin in our lives, we need to rethink it. If we're doing something wrong, we need to change the way we think. We need to repent.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're trying to hasten along here. Go ahead and read Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 14.
Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord.
Follow peace with all men. Who? All men. I don't care if they agree with you or don't. I don't care if they belong to your political party or don't. Have peace.
Right.
Doesn't mean agree with them. Have peace with them.
Amen.
And along with that, have holiness. Because without it, no man's going to see the Lord. You're not going to be saved. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 22 that we put off concerning the former conversations. The old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And that we be renewed in the spirit of our mind. That word is repentance. And that ye put on the new man, which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. If without holiness I'm not going to see God, I want to make sure I get true holiness.
Amen.
If without it I'm not going to make it to heaven, I want to make sure I have not my interpretation, not what I think is okay. I don't care if I think it's over. I don't care if I think it's overboard. I'm not doing it, because without it, and I really don't know where the line is. I really don't know. How much of the world can you have in you and still be saved? I don't know. I have no idea. How much sin can you have in your life and still be saved? None. I want to walk circumspectly. I want to make sure that every step is ordered of the Lord. I want to make sure, God, if I don't have it, give me revelation. God, give me conviction. We need an old-fashioned revival of conviction. We need an old-fashioned revival of submission and obedience. We need an old-fashioned revival of God. Put me under the pew. Help me get a hold of God. Help me pray through. So if we're going to do all this, we are to cleanse ourselves. Read 2 Corinthians 7 and 1.
Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God.
Having these promises. Thank God for promises.
Amen.
Man, if it wasn't for promises, why in the world would we get up in the morning? So someone said that vitamin hope, that vitamin H, if you don't have hope, if we had hope only in this life, we'd be of all men most miserable.
Right.
Thank God there's something better than this. Right. Having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. You ever went to eat with somebody and after they ate, they had a mint and a toothpick and they're all, do I have anything in my teeth? Come on, be honest. There's some people who walk around, they got chunks in their teeth. They don't ask questions. They don't care. And you're like, hey, you got something where? Looks like you've been eating salad or broccoli for years. Do something with it. Brush your teeth.
Yes. Amen.
Well, the Lord's going to do it. I got faith. God's going to cleanse me. He got you a toothbrush. And he put in the heart of someone to invent toothpaste. And he put somebody in Oklahoma and invented a toothbrush. We know it was Oklahoma because if it was anywhere else, it'd be toothbrush. Come on now. Cleanse yourself. It's my responsibility to make sure I'm clean. I can't go out in my church clothes and check my oil. Oh, well, hey, I got this good tie. It's good for checking the dipstick. And then just come to church however dirty I am. No, I got to cleanse myself. It's the same way in the spirit. I got to keep myself from the world. I hate the garment spotted by the world. I don't want the world on me, around me, touching me. I want to cleanse myself from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We have lost that old-fashioned fear of God. Oh, it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. I want to make sure I have reverence. I want to make sure I have. It's not what I think. It's what he thinks. It's not what I feel is okay. It's what he feels is okay.
Amen.
Go ahead and read Romans 12:1-2. Here it is.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Be not conformed, he said. Don't fashion alike the world. Don't wear the latest fashions. Well, how do I know how I'm supposed to dress? The Bible said, wherein shall a young man cleanse his ways? How am I supposed to do this? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Ephesians 5:26, we've read this already, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. If you have daily devotion, if you're praying every day and you're hungry for the will of God and God is speaking your life, you will know this is not right, that activity is not good, I shouldn't be participating in that, I shouldn't be hanging around those people, I shouldn't be going to those events, there's things I can't do, there's things I don't want to do because I don't want to frustrate the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
He said, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Acceptable. I accept the Lord as my personal Savior.
Not in there.
How does that work? I accepted you, Jesus. I examined all the evidence and I accepted your proposal. No. God, here I am. Do you accept me? I'm coming to you. Do you accept me? You got to repent. You need to be baptized. You need your sins washed away. I'll fill you with my spirit, and then I will accept you. The Bible goes on to tell us that it's our reasonable service. It's not too hard to live holy. It's not too hard. You know, back in the day, all churches had a standard of holiness.
Right.
We didn't change. They did. Now we're looked at as crazy and radical. I'm sorry, we're not letting homosexuals pastor our churches either. We're not confused in who we worship. You know, someone said that's not a skirt on that thing, that's a cape. Well, now you got men going in women's bathrooms, and you got women going in the wrong ones, and girls are being subjugated to men going in there identifying. I'm sorry, it's all crazy.
Yeah.
That happened in the church. It's happened in that world out there. It's happened on television. It's happened in Hollywood. I'm going to tell you the biggest church in this world is Hollywood. And all the garbage that comes from that. If you wouldn't allow it in your home, don't allow it in a box in your home. Don't allow it on a computer screen in your home. Don't allow it on a phone in your home. If you wouldn't allow the activity to be done in your home with real people, don't let it be done on a box or on a phone or a screen. Praise God. The biggest battle is our mind. We care what people think about us. And if we dress different than them and we act different than them, we're worried about what they think. Let me tell you something. They're not thinking about you. You be holy and let them ask questions. You be righteous and let them ask questions. Read for us 1 Corinthians 3:16.
Know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are.
Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Didn't he kick out the money changers of them that sold?
Right.
My house should be called the house of prayer. You made a den of thieves. Get out of my house. You're doing this wrong. He said, I'm going to destroy them to defile the temple. For the temple of God is holy. That's us.
Right.
Which temple ye are. What? Know ye not your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost? 1 Corinthians 16:9. The Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, ye are not your own.
Right.
You're bought with a price.
Right.
Therefore, glorify God in your body. And in your spirit, which are God's. It belonged to God. Apostrophe S. It belongs to God.
Right.
My life is not my own. To him I belong. Is this just a song we sing or is it a life we live? The Bible said whatever, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do it all to the glory of God. Does this activity, what I'm doing right now, does it bring God glory? I know the sports world. They win a trophy. They win a championship. Glory to God. God wasn't in that. God don't care about that. Wasn't God not for the other team? Those heathens. God's got favorite sports teams. And he doesn't, and it changes depending on who wins. No, God doesn't care about that. God says, you have talents, you have determination, you have drive. Why don't you use it for my glory? Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. In fact, Jesus said this as we're standing tonight. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I'm not doing it because it's easy. I'm not doing it because I got a corner on it. I'm doing it because it glorifies God. And it draws men to God. It draws people to God. In our Bible studies that we have done with individuals, I always use the example. Why would you want the Holy Ghost? Why would you want to be saved? Why would you want to be delivered from this world? And then hide it by dressing like them. Hide it by acting like them. Hide it by doing what they do, just because now you can. We're free from sin. If I sin, it's not me, it's my flesh. All that is trying to hide the light that's in us. And all it does is put everybody in darkness, including ourselves. Let your light. Why do I have to live a Christian lifestyle? Why do I have to live a holy and righteous life? Why do I have to do that? To bring glory to God. To bring glory to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. Giving glory to God. My actions, my deeds, my behaviors. The places I go, the places I don't go. The people I run with, the people I don't run with. I want all to bring God glory. This is just an introduction to what it means to be a Christian. I'm not talking apostolic. I said this the other day. I'm not talking Pentecostal. They were first called Christians in Antioch. Their experience was Pentecostal. Their doctrine was the apostles' doctrine. They're just the church. People label themselves Christians and don't even know who Christ is. People label themselves the church and don't even know what Pentecost is. I just want to be a Christian. I want to be pure religion, true holiness. From the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I don't want it to be relative. I don't want it to waver. One church holds this standard. One church holds that standard. I understand there may be different house rules, but for the most part, there's got to be some kind of fixed. And like I said before, back in the day, everyone lived it. I want to hold true. I want to hold steady. I want to hold on. Hey, Brother O'Connor, I'm not running from anything. I'm not ashamed. I'm standing here tonight knowing this is the absolute word of God. This is the truth of God's word. This is the principle of God's word. This is line upon line, precept upon precept, principle upon principle. It's here a little and there. I know it's not all just laid out in black and white, but it is there for us that are hungry to find it. If it's only a remnant, then let me be part of the remnant. Oh, let's lift our hands all over the house tonight. Oh, let's lift our voices. Let's lift. Oh, mighty King, mighty Savior, mighty God tonight, Savior. I want to be holy, holy like you. I want to be righteous like you, Jesus. God, I want to do your will. I want to live your life. God, I want to let my life bring glory to you, Jesus. Mighty God, by your Spirit. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Looking forward to this Sunday. Amen. I believe God's going to do great things if we come hungry for it. God's going to do righteous things. Thank God for the revival that we're having. Thank God for the move of the Holy Ghost we've been feeling. I think part of it is these lessons. I believe it's put a desire in people's hearts. I know I've had people say, I want Bible studies. I want to know more about this. And we are so ready, willing, and able to do that because we just know that God's got plans for your life and for your family. And we are excited to see what God does and how powerfully he uses you. Praise God. Let your light so shine before all men. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Where is the power of God unto salvation? Let's lift our hands one more time. Come on, let's give God praise. We glorify in my life, Lord, be glorified. In my life, be glorified. Praise God. Amen. God richly bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.